B-Pod Studios.
This is PG with Roxanne Wilder.
As a parent, as an American, the events of this past week, everything that's happened and continues to happen is devastating to me. And I know I'm not alone. So many people feel this way. I wanted to talk to someone who I know can bring us, not just as a local community, but as a country, can bring us a sense of peace and hope and help us navigate these times. Her name is Edie Darling, and she is a spiritual advisor. She has a law enforcement background, and she is an ambassador of peace. Good morning, Edie. I am so happy to see you.
Good morning, Roxanne. It's so nice to be here.
It's nice to see someone in studio because you're the first in-studio interview I've done in months.
I'm honored.
Yes. So it's great to have you here. And you are someone who, during these tough times that we're in right now, as a friend,
yes,
I say, I need to talk to Edie.
Yes.
I need some guidance.
Yes.
I need to hear what she has to say. And everybody does. I don't mean just in this Tampa Bay area. I'm talking across the country, across the world,
yes,
to hear your message.
Yes.
And as we just let our listeners know, you're a spiritual advisor. You're an ambassador of peace. We're going to get a little bit more into that.
Yes.
And you also have a law enforcement background.
Yes.
So with all of that in mind, just share your overall observations. What is happening right now in our communities and in our country?
You know, what's interesting, Roxanne, someone asked me a question recently. And they said, you know, in the midst of everything, what is it that people want? And something that came to me is the idea of supporting the inalienable right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as defined in the Constitution of the United States of America. That's what people want, is to feel as though they are equal, not only in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of man. So when that's not done, then you get this emotion of pain that comes out in a way that can't, I don't want to say that can't be controlled, but that is uncontrollable, because people feel like, I've said it, and what more needs to be done?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way to handle that. There's a way to channel that. And what's interesting is that some children are taught conflict resolution, while other children are taught, I don't want to say, aren't given that opportunity of taught to be taught conflict resolution. So anger comes out, they punch walls, they share it in a way that is not the most healthiest way. But then that's when a voice of peace comes and say, you know what, let's embrace that pain, let's talk about that pain, but let's not wallow in that pain. Let's be in a place of action.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to change it and make it applicable for all of us to live peacefully?
Exactly. And again, I refer to your multitude of roles,
yeah,
because you can answer questions for each segment of people. For
yes,
example,
mm-hmm,
let's just talk as a parent.
Yeah.
What do we need to do? What do we need to teach our children about what's happening right now?
You know, I believe it was on Sunday, I got the men up in my household, and I said, you know, the Lord is telling me to just come and have you guys come down and let's pray. You know, I feel that we should first start off with that relationship with the Father, you know, getting back into commune with Him and seeking that guidance from Him and direction, because we've all kind of gone our separate ways. And COVID really did a number for us, that, you know, people thought COVID was a bad thing. But for me, I thought COVID was really a good thing, because it brought us back to family,
mm-hmm,
it brought us back to a relationship with God. But I think that sitting down with our children and actually letting them express their feelings of fear and a reality, and letting them know, listen, it may look chaotic now, but everything is going to be all right. It is going to be all right. But hearing them out, even as the small children, what do adults want to be? They want to be heard. Children want to be heard. So listen to them. Allow them to express their fears, their concerns, and then comforting them and letting them know, let's pray about this. Let's go back to the Father. Mommy don't have all the answers. Daddy don't have all the answers. But you know what? We're going to go to something higher than us for those answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let's talk from a standpoint of our community here in the Tampa Bay area.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, I was very naive on Saturday night, and I saw things that were happening across the country, which, of course, saddened me. Yes. And I had this little naive thought that, well, look at this great community we live in. This isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this won't happen. Yeah. And then you saw so many good things happen on Saturday with the peaceful protests, yeah. and then things turned ugly on Saturday night.
Yes.
And so we're not immune. No community is immune. And again, it comes from those feelings. How do you channel them? What is your overall perspective on what this comes from? And we look at law enforcement, right. and we see, I'm really going in deep here, but what's going on here that this happened in the George Floyd situation? Because there's that, it's called the thin blue line. People protect, officers protect one another. You have to. But why didn't anybody stop that officer? I mean, it's just heartbreaking. Yeah. You say one person jumps in and say, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah. So my son says something very powerful. So I'm going to take it from his perspective. He says, Mom, do you know why no one stepped in? And I said, tell me why you feel that way. He says, because fear. Fear that if I step in, I myself will be shot. I myself may be killed. He said, I think for most Americans or most people, he said, if it were their family member, he said, there's no doubt, there's no question at that moment that they would have acted.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to look at that statement that he said. That's the problem, Roxanne. We don't see each other as brothers and sisters. This is not about, okay, who did what? Because at the end of the day, whether this was somebody who was in a uniform or whether this was somebody out on the street, somebody right next to you, somebody in the grocery store, somebody fighting in front of a convenience store, whatever the case may be, we have to see each other as brothers and sisters. And Dr. Martin Luther King said something so poignant. And he said, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that is the problem. We can't see each other as brothers and sisters to be able to act.
Mm-hmm.
The pain that you talked about in regards to why did it happen here? Dr. Martin Luther King, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. What happens to one impacts the lives of all. Is that connectivity.
Yes.
I'm connecting to the pain. I feel the pain. But again, how do we harness that pain for something good and change? That's the part. We could talk about it all day long, but how do we resolve the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the part people are so afraid of conversation.
Yes. So you mentioned that. People are afraid to have certain conversations. And I know I've started talking with some of my friends. I'll give you just a perfect example. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine who says, you know what? This is what white men won't ever understand mm-hmm. is you get behind the wheel of a car. And this is terrible to think about this. But if it's a certain kind of car, mm-hmm. a nicer car or a not nicer car, then you are on the target of a police officer to pull you over to ask you questions that a white man doesn't have to deal with. That is a fairly factual statement in my observation as well.
In your observation. So let me tell you what I did for my children when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this started even before my children's time, even when I was young, that my mother sat down with me and said, now listen, I have to tell you some truths.
Mm-hmm.
And the truths are because of the color of your skin, you're not going to always be treated with equality. And so if you ever get pulled, this is what my mother said to me, mm-hmm. if you ever get pulled over by a police officer, yes sir, no sir, and hopefully you'll come home safely to me. And I would tell my children that same statement. And here I have been in law enforcement mm-hmm. for just as much as them being alive, but saying to them, if you get pulled over, this is what you do. I want to say that I don't want to go in that mindset that we are being targeted.
Right.
But if you are pulled over, there's an innate fear that instantly comes over the individual, and how people respond and act is out of fear.
And we know what fear is, fight or flight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what someone who doesn't look like me feels when they get pulled over, they don't have a fear. It's like, hey, you know, it's like every day. I won't say every day, but it's,
sure.
I don't have to worry. But someone of a...
I will say that if I ever see the lights behind me, I'm like, oh no, oh no.
Right.
But I think it's that part of the feeling is something we can relate to. But, yes, everybody.
But you don't have to relate to, am I going to come home to my family?
Absolutely.
And that's the innate fear of people of skin tone, of brown and black, and that innate fear.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get them to trust again?
Right, right. And maybe another part of that conversation is also related to how law enforcement feels.
Yes.
How there's a fear there too. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to me when I pull someone over of any race?
Right, absolutely.
And so they're already coming from that point of edge.
Being on guard.
Being
on guard. And so, you know, Roxanne, one of the things that I do, as you know, and what you do, is help to bridge the gap between community and law enforcement relations. It is good to have those conversations in the community to let people know I'm not out here to harm you. I'm here to enforce the laws of the land. You know, I want this to be a smooth conversation with you as much as you want this to be as much as a smooth conversation, but understand that when you walk up, there's that natural nervousness of the person who is behind. But here's what I want to say. The average person, Roxanne, has a good heart when they're being pulled over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the contact that we have with individuals, they most of the time they understand. I know why you pulled me over. But if I don't know why you pulled me over, I'm going to ask, why'd you put me over? And so there is that conversation, but then there's the rare few circumstances where the person in the car does not have the best interest of the law enforcement. And sadly, as we know, as we've seen, there's going to be bad people in every profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want this to focus strictly on law enforcement, but unfortunately, this is a hot topic right now.
Right.
It's what's being seen through the camera lens and what's being projected throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Police officers are bad. But let me tell you, 99% of the police officers that are out here, they have a true heart to serve God and to serve humanity, to protect humanity. But you're going to have those very few in every profession who have their own self-centered goals and want to have that authority over somebody to do what they want to do just because I gave you a badge.
Right, yeah. Right.
Those we got to get rid of.
Absolutely. And so you talk about two key points there. It's how do you weed out those people? Mm-hmm. And then also, how do you work the reach out so it's a regular part of law enforcement and communities getting in touch, getting together on things, helping one another?
So how do you weed them out? I think it goes back to the responsibility of every agency when they know that they have a problem and that person continuously shows that they have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, we train, retrain, but when you don't follow the rules, bruh, it's time to go.
Right. Of course.
Cause you a threat to me, you a threat to our agency, but most of all, you are a threat to society. Go find you another job.
Sure. Sure.
Go find you another job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then with some of those programs that you're a part or you've been a part of in the past with reaching out to individuals in the community saying, look, this is, law enforcement's here to help you and everyone.
Yes.
That's the goal.
It is. You know, I did a radio show, Wake Up with Edie Darling, and that my main goal with that was to help bridge the gap between community and law enforcement relations. This is not a we versus them mentality. This is, I'm a part of this community. I love this community. I want to be a part of the community. I'm here to help you. If you have a problem, I want you to come to me. I don't want this to be where back in the day you see a police officer, you run, because that's what was taught. If you see a police officer, you run because, you know,
nothing good can come of it.
Nothing good can come of it. But we have come so far, but yet we've digressed back so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like this is where we have to truly seek community and seek the letting them know that we are part of the solution and together we can make this happen.
I want to get into deeply into the Ambassador of Peace and what that means, what you do, and what you're able to do. Before we do that, one other question for you, though, Edie. I want to talk about racism in general.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, when I look at my children, obviously I have an infant. Mm-hmm. Okay, she doesn't communicate. But then I have my three-year-old, and she does not know mm-hmm. the difference in people's skin color.
Right.
She can't, that is of no consequence to her.
Right.
And how do I keep that? I want that to be for forever for her.
Yeah.
And I just think step one, don't have the news on in my house. Unfortunately,
yes.
That's where some of that learned behavior comes from. How do we maintain that? I mean, I feel like things, you know, we see family, you know, we see couples with kids who are black and white. So
Yes. The
more that happens, the less distinguishable this will, you know, it seems like a good thing.
Right.
And so how do I keep her from ever having that be part of her life? It's impossible. But
it's
what
impossible.
Would you say?
So here's what I say to that. I come from a very diverse family.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's Caucasian. My children, my grandchildren are biracial. And my children are in interracial relationships, married and so forth. So how do you keep that? Well, racism is something that's taught in the home. What you just said will make the difference. My children don't see color. How do I keep that? Getting them diverse, keeping them around individuals that don't look like them, and letting them know that we're all the same. It's like the rainbow. What makes the rainbow beautiful? The many different colors of
coming
the rainbow
together.
Coming
yes.
together to make beauty. And so that's when you can say, oh, isn't their color, the skin of their color, oh, it's so beautiful. Look at the color of your skin. It's so beautiful. Aren't we all just a rainbow of colors that make the crayon box so beautiful? You know, those are the things that we need to pull out. And if your child is coloring and they'll say, I don't like that color. Why don't you like that color? And then say, well, that color makes the box even more beautiful. So let's make some more beautiful pictures with this. That's how we keep that. And recognizing different cultures and not being afraid to go into environments and listening to people. And so there's this little, I'll say like a YouTube video of these two little boys. And there's also these two little girls. One happens to be black. One happens to be white. And they say they're twins. They say they're twins. And their mamas are saying, baby, y'all don't look nothing alike.
That.
You know? And they're like, but that's my brother. That's my twin. Let it happen.
Right.
Let it authentically happen. They see something that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see color. They see that I'm alike. Your soul is like my soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see eyes. Mm-hmm. And your eyes are like my eyes. I don't see the eye color. I see that your eyes are like my eyes. You got a nose that look like my nose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm embracing that, the eyes.
Yes, and exactly.
So, yeah.
That's how we do it. It doesn't seem that hard, does it?
It's not hard. It's not hard. This is why I tell people, say sis. That's why, you know, hey
yeah,
sis,
I
how
love
you
that.
Do it?
Yes.
Because
you're
my sister.
I love it. I'm going to steal that if you don't mind.
Steal it. Sure as a half.
Now let's get down to something really important here. As we let the listeners know, you are, Edie Darling, Ambassador of Peace.
Yes.
We want this to become, that is official.
Yeah.
But we want this to become global.
Yes.
And with that in mind, you have all the support of all of these, you know, from county commissioners to people across the state, deputies, police chiefs, Mayor Rick Kreisman, everybody is behind you in terms of making you the Ambassador of Peace to the United States.
Yes.
United States International Ambassador at Large, Ambassador
yes.
of Peace, Edie Darling.
Yes.
So I know there's this work being done to
yes.
get the message to the president.
Yes.
And what can we do to make that happen? And what does that mean? Because, okay, let's back up a step.
Yes.
It's crazy to me that we don't have such a thing.
Right?
That might actually solve a lot of these problems.
Yes.
So what would the role be?
So let's go back to when this all started. So back on September the 1st, 2019, I made this announcement that I would like to get the community support because I saw that this is something that our nation needed. because just like COVID, our nation was not prepared. The world was not prepared for what this can do to the economy, what this can do to the people. And there needed to be a voice of peace to give people hope. And so what happened? People went in their homes. They were suffering and still the anxiety of all of that. How I'm going to pay my bills, you know, all of these things. So why wasn't the voice of peace able to tell them there is hope? Because a lot of people don't go to church, as you know. A lot of people don't even want to hear about church, let alone step in a church.
Right.
So then we had the deaths that took place with Ahmaud, and even before then, but the recent with Ahmaud, and then with George, that now the doors of were open for us to come out, and then now this explosion of things have happened. And so, again, people feel hopeless. So I presented to the community, hey, let's, you know, shoot for the stars here. Let's seek for international ambassadorship, because if this were to happen, if this calamity comes here, then we need to have someone who has a voice who can go to all of these different things at all of these different areas to give hope.
Sure.
Just as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there was something in Selma, he went to Selma.
Mm-hmm.
When there was something in Mississippi, he went to Mississippi.
Right.
So this is what we need, is to have that person who's able to be recognized, because, sis, right now we have a movement that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the leader for that movement?
Exactly.
To be able to bring peace and order, because people can't necessarily trust the police to bring it. Necessarily, they can't trust their political government to do it. But then there's that one voice of hope that can do it. So what is that? So the ambassador of peace that I feel that the Lord has given me is dedicated to the universal value that each person has inherent worth and value and is entitled to live a peaceful, productive life free from harm. The ambassador of peace will promote the presence and role of peace building within the community by working cooperatively with all people in the pursuit of peace, supporting the inalienable right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as defined in the Constitution of the United States. The ambassador of peace brings a spirit of unity and a strong conviction of equality for all people. The ambassador of peace will establish a groundbreaking model uniformly and without bias that all other communities will desire to emulate regionally, nationally, as well as globally. When you can teach people peace, when you can share peace, give people hope, they operate in that peace.
And that's what's missing right now is the hope.
Yeah.
And without the hope, then there's where you have the unrest.
Yeah.
And so it's finding a way. And we want these situations with George Floyd to be never happen again.
Never.
Never. Mm-hmm. One time is one time too many.
Yes.
From this day forward. Had you been at this helm of Ambassador of Peace, hopefully this is just prevented. Mm-hmm. But then when something horrific like this happens, because people are imperfect and people do bad things,
yes.
And then you're there to offer the country guidance,
yes,
on how to get through it together,
yes,
what change can be implemented because of this, what investigation with a law enforcement background. I mean, Edie, it's amazing, because you need a unique person to do this, and yet you are that unique person. You have all the areas, the hope that God will give us.
Yes.
So as a spiritual guide.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. What needs to happen in order for this to, like we said, you're getting the support that you need from local government officials.
Yes.
What do you want our listeners to do?
So, back in September, we put together 100,000 signatures that the White House said that we needed to get in order to get a voice before the president. In order, so we were shy of that 100,000 signatures. But there's a person out here who believes it. We don't need 100,000 signatures. You know what we
need?
That's
just a benchmark, right?
That's a benchmark. But what we really need, because one person's voice who believes that this is necessary can make the difference and ring the president up on the phone and say, hey, Mr. President, this is what our country needs. Did you get these letters from the community support? why do we need to have 100,000 signatures? There are influencers out here. We know we have basketball players. We have people in government who have high authority who can say this is necessary and it is now. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who need to speak up and say, this is what we need. And Edie Darling is the one mm-hmm. that fits the role for this. And let's do it.
Yes.
That's what I need.
Right.
That's what we need.
Right.
So
somebody knows somebody who can push that through,
yeah.
you know, just make it happen. Just make the phone call, yeah. do what you have to do. This yeah. is now's the time. You know, some people are shy about making that phone call to someone they know that now's the time to do it.
Right.
We need it more than ever.
But at the end of the day, Roxanne, mm-hmm. I know who I am.
Right. Yeah.
I'm an ambassador of peace. Whether I get international recognition or not,
right.
this is not about recognition. Mm-hmm. What it is saying our people are hurting.
Right.
They
and
need
you
a voice.
You have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have solutions to mm-hmm. help get us through these times.
Yes, bringing people to a round table of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people are running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Sis, come on, be for real. They're running around like a chicken with their head cut off. They have no guidance. They're thinking, if you want me to be real, I'm being
mm-hmm.
real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People are saying, what the world are we to do?
Right.
Okay, well, you got ideas. How about we bring all these ideas, but at the same token, mm-hmm. listen to the voice of the people. What has happened, Roxanne, is people have said what I feel mm-hmm. the people need. The people know what they need.
Right.
And
right.
every community is different.
Exactly.
So you have to be able to go into the community no different than what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. did. If there was a bus boycott that needed to take place because people couldn't get on the bus, then what did he do?
He
addressed the bus
yes.
problem.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
If it was a job issue, he went and addressed the job issue.
Mm-hmm.
Every community is different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you need that person who looks at it from a non-biased
right.
way.
Right.
And say, I'm listening. I hear you. Okay. This is what happened.
And this is why you're not hearing each other.
Right.
Let me translate
that for you. I hear your language. Okay, great. Let's interpret the language.
Oh my gosh, Edie, I just love talking with you because as we're talking, you know, I'm making these mental notes like, okay, that's important. I'm taking these for my own life lessons.
Yes.
And one of the things that you said earlier when we started yes. is that the whole problem with what happened, why we're having this conversation today because of the George Floyd murder
yes.
is because people don't see each other as brother and sister.
Yes.
And that is just so powerful when you make it that simple
yeah.
and you look everyone in the eye. And we talked even off air about, hey, this coronavirus, this COVID has done some good work because you stay home with the family.
Yeah.
But the bad work is, what about our people outside the family?
Right.
Are we not as close now? We have the mask on. We have the, you know, don't want to shake a hand. Don't
right.
want to. We're losing that community
from the connectivity.
Yes.
But I have to tell you, though, I like to look for the positives in the negatives.
I know you do.
So
yes.
let me talk about what COVID did. Not only did it bring us back to family, not only did it bring us back to God, but, you know, I saw the community rallying together when somebody was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
There was food banks being opened
yes.
up in a way. They didn't say it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to even present an ID. If you're hungry, come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You saw community leaders that were coming and stepping out and really expressing, I care. You had teachers concerned about whether their students were really getting their education and wanted to come up with new creative ideas, or schools coming up with new creative ideas in order to still be connected but not connected, doing Zooms and people still being just allowing our brains.
We saw the innovation that we're known for.
Okay. Isn't that what we talk about? Innovative. You know, we're innovative. So that's what it did.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to go back to the norm? I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we come out with a new norm and a new way of embracing the new norm that we can still see the light in each other and that I can see you behind. Even though you may have a mask on your face,
mm-hmm.
I can still see through the eyes.
Edie, I have to tell you, I, like I said, I've said before, I like to be a positive person, but that whole thing is really, really got me down. This is the first conversation I've had with someone where I can see it a different way.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Yeah.
You're right. You know,
yeah.
We can still see each other's eyes.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that old saying, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Yes.
You know when somebody looking squirrely at you. But you also know when somebody's like, oh, I'm so glad to see another person. Ooh, you look so beautiful. You know, the eyes are the window to the soul. So I'm grateful for what you do. I'm grateful for the platform that you're willing to open it up to the idea of giving people hope. This is the beginning of that open dialogue, of that round table of peace.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
is. And so I thank you for inviting me today. I just feel really good. I'm so
me too.
Grateful that this is the way my day gets started,
know,
too. You know,
mine
that
too.
I can give you hope.
Yes,
you, know?
You did. God bless you, Edie.
Thank you. You're
just an angel, and you are an ambassador of peace.
Yes, I am. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Deeper. And thank you for hanging out with us on the PG Parental Guidance Needed podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.